This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Tuesday. December the 7th, 2021. The show is DiPietro and Rothenberg. There are 13 weeks in the rearview mirror of the NFL season. Without any further ado, let's say good morning to a man that really needs no introduction. He is your goaltender, number 39, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. No more goalie. Coach.
Save DiPietro!
We've hung up the pads. The pads are officially hung up.
I think in a pinch. I think in a real desperate measure. If a high school team, you're masked up. So really, for a high school team, you could just skate out there. Nobody would really know. Maybe a club team, something like that. I think you have one more in you. One more.
I actually had the thought. It's funny that you say that. I actually had the thought yesterday that maybe I'll throw the pads on just as a little treat. Like get out there, play some goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tweaked my hamstring putting on a sock. I'm good. There's no chance of getting back in net.
Yeah, it's probably not a great idea. Listen, you're in an advanced age. You are now middle-aged. You are.
Why do you need to say that on this, too? After what I had to watch last night, you gotta come at me like this, that I'm middle-aged now? I gotta realize at 5:01 on a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That I'm a middle-aged man now?
Well, had you not realized it at all? Like, it took me bringing this to your attention for you to understand that you're, in fact, middle-aged? I mean, the average life expectancy for a man in this country is what, like 78, 77?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Nana Jenny is, I mean, she's 92.
Right. So you do have that. That's only one example.
Well, no, it's not.
How old were
you?
Did your other grandparents live to?
Okay, listen, here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. So Nana Edie, God rest her soul, she ended up having Alzheimer's, but she was the best. Like, to the point where...
I don't care how great she was, how long did she live?
She had Alzheimer's, though. Like, I can't use that as an example. Like, up until the time, like, she was driving in her mid-80s. Like, she was...
All right, so that's good, though.
All her faculties, everything. My dad's side of the family, I mean, we're talking mid-90s. His aunts are mid-90s.
All right, so if you're playing the numbers then you have a chance. Then maybe in fact you're not middle aged.
So I got 5 years. I figure I have 5 more years. Give me to 45, and then we can have a conversation.
To be middle aged?
Then I'll be middle aged. Yeah.
I'll give you 2.5.
I'll take that. I'll take 42.5.
I'll give you 42.5. Then you're middle aged, and then it's downhill from there.
Well, promise me this, because your 50th is coming up, and we're gonna.
No, my 49th is coming up.
Well, no, I know your 49th is.
Listen,
coming up.
When you get to this advanced age, you're not rushing anything.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying, though, is because I love you so much
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to start putting plans into motion now knowing that I have the extra year till we're 50. So we're going to blow 50 out. Promise me that for 42.5, we blow it out for me.
Okay.
42.5, I want to have a celebration. Not 43, not 42. 42.5, that's when we celebrate.
I could put together some kind of a dinner party, but who knows who would bail out last minute. Who knows?
Santiago probably would.
No, no, no. Listen, I think Ray has real problems. We've been through it. Ray and I, we don't get along often. He says stuff horrendously like he did yesterday on the show. Just stupid, moronic stuff.
You can be completely naked, do whatever you want.
Yes.
But that being said, the dinner party, and Raymond is very busy, was not his fault. That goes to Geppetto, one RJ Santillo, ruined the dinner party.
No, he did not ruin it. He postponed it. I think our sweet spot is sometime in February. I think that's our sweet spot.
Great. So how excited am I supposed to get for a dinner party in February?
I think you should be very excited because, I mean, you've had Thanksgiving, you got Hanukkah, we got Christmas coming up, then we got New Year's. We have this void. There'll be this void of things we need to do. So we sprinkle in a dinner party.
How about, I got it. I have it. I've just received it, like that moment of clarity.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Potluck Thanksgiving dinner party.
Oh, my God, I love you. I love everything about you. You've never had a better idea in your entire life.
How good is that? Potluck Thanksgiving dinner party.
Why don't we do it on like a wild card Saturday?
No,
maybe?
No.
What do you mean no?
No. Well, first of all, the guys won't. Second of all, I need to concentrate. I don't want people. I don't want little kids.
What? Because the Giants are going to be in it?
No, not the Giants are going to be in it. I you don't understand. Football to me, it's closer to God and religion than in fact religion is. I'm not going to be there and have small talk. And you don't need the way back music, Ray. Doesn't make any sense there. All right, I don't need. Oh, isn't Baby Rocco cute? Hey, why don't you hold Baby Rocco? I don't need that. I don't want that. Oh, Ange, come on over. When are you guys going to try to have a baby? No, I don't want that. Have you tried the dark meat? Try the dark meat. I want to focus on Rams Cowboys. I don't want to focus on side stuff for the dinner party. I work with little babies. I want the dinner party to be the dinner party. I want the wild card to be the wild card. I don't want to mix and match my events.
All right, so maybe we go that Friday then, leading into the wild card weekend. Maybe we do something like that as a precursor to get you all excited for the wild.
I would do that. It's almost unlikely that on a Friday that would happen. I would say it's more likely it's a post Super Bowl Thanksgiving dinner party on a weekend. That seems more likely to me. But if you want to put together on a Friday, that's fine. Fine with that.
Why do you treat me like that though? Why do you have such disrespect for me that I would invite you to my home on wild card weekend? And then have a dinner party on a Saturday where you can't sit there and really focus on football. Like, I would have people
because
coming
I think
up to
it'd
you
be
while
on
you're
your
trying
control.
To focus.
I think, of course unless it would be security, out of my control. I think it'd be on your control.
No, it wouldn't. Baby Rocco's in bed by 7, first of all. Second of all, kids could be downstairs playing the entire time. Whoever wants to watch football stays and watches football. Cass loves football. And
you know what this
football.
Means? This is an 8:20 game. So now I'm not leaving during the game. I know you. Bedtime happens early. So
Saturday.
I'm there. I don't care if you give me my own room. I'm there. I mean, Michael Kay, for all the angst he gives me, he gets me. During the Super Bowl, he said, listen, there's a safe space for you, okay? There's a room off the room
like that
where
kind of
if
party.
You're not feeling comfortable, you go in there and you watch the game by yourself. That's what I need.
Yeah, but this is even better then. I mean, this works out even better then. Now, because it's going to be a potluck Thanksgiving, we eat. Game kicks off at 8, right? Your kids are still up because they're older. My kids are in bed. We've already had
Rocco will go to bed, I believe that. Ella won't care. No way you're going to get Milo to go to bed.
Guaranteed
there's
he goes
no
to bed.
Way. Wild card weekend, two older kids who are into sports and are fun, that Milo's going to be like, all right, guys, good night. It's not going to happen.
No, he'll go to bed. No, listen, Ben and Alex are leaving. Milo, time for bed. Okay, Dad, love you guys. Night. He goes to bed. We're probably 2 or 3 bottles of wine deep at this point. And
wait a minute. You want to lie to Milo?
Oh, fudge the truth a little bit.
No, that's really a lie. You lie to your children?
In front of God,
it's
in everybody.
The best interest of the child.
You want to
say,
truth, all
right, so what are we going to do? Put the jackets on Ben and Alex and say, all right, guys, thank you so much. Then Milo up to bed. Then they double back.
God. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean you spent almost the entire – until what time of their lives are you lying to them almost about everything?
I don't know. That seems like a bold-faced lie, though. I don't want to be part of that. What happens if the kid gets up and wants to come down for a drink of water, and there's Ben and Alex just hanging out watching Wild Card Weekend? That's therapy for the kid. That's awful. I will not be a part of that.
You'll do it. You'll
no,
do
I
it.
Won't.
You'll shut your mouth and you'll sit there and watch the game and like it while I feed you handmade dessert.
Yep. I don't know. I think we should probably talk about sports now. I can't believe you so flippantly were just like, well, we lied to Milo. I got your holiday card, your Christmas card, as it would
be. That's
a
nice card, isn't it?
It's a beautiful card. The kid is adorable, looks just like you as a young child. I mean, and now you want to lie to this cherubic face. I will not have it.
Yeah, as opposed to the, just put your tooth under the pillow. And it just money just magically appears. Stop. He needs to be in bed by 8:20. Probably have a hockey game on Sunday morning.
And we're going to lie. And we're going to lie about it to get it done. How far do we go with the lie? Do they put their jackets on? Do they put their beanies on? How far do we go?
Yes. Maybe turn the car on.
Really? So I might have to perpetuate your lie by, all right, guys, use the fob. I might have to use the fob.
No, you're using the fob. I may even have you go drive around the neighborhood.
So I might have to leave. I might have to leave. I'll go to Dunkin' Donuts. I'll get coffee for the game, donuts for the game, and then come back.
That's actually not a terrible idea. You go get the coffee. We get dessert ready.
It's not a terrible idea. I think it's a great plan. I feel dirt. We need to move on. I'm not a truth fudger. I feel awful about this, that you would even suggest this. All right. So a couple things. First of all, there is something just magical about the Patriots, really. I mean, the way that they are able to win games, the way they win games, there is something absolutely magical about them. So that's for starters. We'll get into that. Hear from Belichick, Mac Jones, all of it. And also, we made a demand, and it's going to be, I think, phenomenal today. Omar, who we said you must call your band till February 1, already on the line, on the heels of what has to be a stinging Bills loss for him.
Has to be a stinging loss. That right there, I mean, forget the loss. The Patriots win is a stinging win for
everyone else.
The entire AFC.
Yes.
The entire AFC, especially the AFC East. We spent all this time talking about Zach Wilson and is Robert Saleh a good head coach? It doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't. What are you laughing about? It doesn't matter.
No, I know. I know. You're going to have no passing game. You don't trust the kid in the weather. That's fine. Just run it every single play but three. They took their manhood. We're going to run the ball. The Giants can have a full weaponry of we can do play action, we can throw the ball, we can run the ball, and they can't move it. The Patriots can say, we forget about the passing game. We're going to play like 1946 Navy football or even current Navy football, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing.
No, nothing. You know we're going to run, and we're going to run it right down your throat.
It's the most emasculating thing of it, isn't it? Here's where we could give it to you on a silver platter. Here's what we're going to do, and you can't stop it.
They went three quarters with throwing the ball one time. Three quarters.
One time.
And they just gashed them with the running game. But they're a well-oiled machine, dude, too. I mean, even you watch, like, the missed, like, the last two possessions for the Bills, where they actually moved the football and had a chance to score. So you had the Josh Allen back shoulder throw to Steph Diggs, which was open, but it wasn't a well-thrown ball. It's into the wind, I get it. And then you missed the field goal where you watch the Patriots do it, and they know exactly which way the wind's going, which hash they need to be on to make sure they put the kicker in the best spot to make the field goal, and they make the field goal. Buffalo, they're on the wrong hash, and he misses the field goal. It's like they are so well coached.
All the little things.
And they do all the little things right.
Yep. And then you watch what we have here in the Giants and the Jets, and you know, the quarter is running out, and you burn a timeout. You have a 3rd and 23 and you burn a timeout. You don't know what's happening. And the same with the Jets, who can't stop a nosebleed. And then you look at New England, and they are as buttoned up and well-coached. And you think, look what they have, and look what we have here.
Well, yeah, I mean, just think about it. I mean, the mistakes down the stretch that cost the Bills. I mean, I mentioned the pass.
You missed the field goal.
Then you take a sack. Then you miss the field goal. Then you have a false start penalty. I mean, those things add up. Those are the things that it's the controllable things. It's the things going into a game that you can control. And it's the mental mistakes. And the Patriots did have the one mistake, which was the only touchdown that Buffalo scored with the short field on the muffed punt. But besides that, I mean, watching that game last night was maybe one of the most frustrating experiences of my life.
Did you love that game? I loved that game last night. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter, oh, it's just so boring. To me, that was the exact opposite. Like, that to me is just phenomenal football. I adored that game last night.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as say I adored the game.
I did.
I was jealous. I'm sure Buffalo Bills fans probably feel the same way. I'm sure Miami Dolphins fans probably feel the same way. I'm sure everyone in the AFC right now feels the same way. I mean, you go into Buffalo with those kind of weather conditions, and you're watching the pregame. I mean, the wind is swirling. There's snow. There's rain. I mean, you're watching the kickers was hilarious. Balls are just taking sharp turns. And Bill Belichick's up there with the rookie quarterback, and the game kicks off, and they're just pounding the football, and you realize Bill Belichick's team is actually built better. Is more suited to play in Buffalo than Buffalo.
Well, because Buffalo can't run the ball. Not even a little bit. And they get down to the 5-yard line. First to go at the 5. And did you ever have the thought that, oh, they're definitely going to get in here? I never did. Never once.
No. But, even at the end of the game, you watch them play, and it's like they have spent the entire week studying what they were going to do and know what's going to happen almost before it happens. And everyone is doing exactly what they're being asked to told. They run the ball. You got tight ends blocking. You got wide receivers blocking. I mean, it's like poetry in motion watching it. And we sit here every day talking about, the Jets and the Giants. And do the Giants need to fire their coach? Can Robert Saleh actually coach? How poorly coached both of these teams are. And then you watch that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm wasting my breath.
It's the other side of things. It's how it's supposed to look. That's what you see. On Sunday, you see how it's not supposed to look. On Monday, what is it supposed to look like? Like that.
We can beat you however we want to beat you. Like, we need to just run the football, we can just run the football. Like, whatever we need to do to win on that week, we can do it. Because, again, and that is the genius of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's main goal as a head coach is to put each player in position to have success. Whatever that player does well, that's exactly what Bill Belichick asked that player to do.
But here's the thing that's so disheartening, and we'll break and come back and get to your calls and really dive into the locals as compared to what New England is. That's what Joe Judge was supposed to be. He is a disciple of Bill Belichick, and you feel like you got the wool pulled.
Yeah, but
over
what does
your
he
eyes.
Do though? Explain to me what he does, because I know after listening to the Manning Cast last night, and Aqib Talib was on, and they asked him, "How involved is Bill with the defense?" He said, "Oh no, Bill's the defensive coordinator. That's what Bill does. Like it's him. He's very involved. Like that's his side of the ball. Josh McDaniels handles the offense. I mean, now you go watch back video. I mean, Bill was breaking down defensive coverages for Tom Brady to just give him an idea of what the defense is thinking in certain situations. So he's helping Brady out. He's got his hands all over the defense. And then, you get a chance to see the result. Like, explain to me exactly what Joe Judge is doing. Because I thought the offense was going to be collaborative, right? Like, once we fired Jason Garrett, everything would be fixed. It would be collaborative.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers for either of the local teams. Let's break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. 800-919-3776. And don't think I've forgotten about this Thanksgiving in February. And I'm not lying to your children. But Thanksgiving in February, that's got to happen.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hear from Donnie, because I listened to the K show for a decent amount yesterday, and I thought he had a great point, as he often does. By the way, he's very down on you. Very down on you.
For what reason?
I don't know. I think his rationale, he said it the other day when I joined their show, which I thought you heard, I guess because you never go on.
What am I supposed to do? Sorry, kids. I'm going to have to cancel practice because I have to make a pick on the K show.
No, I don't think you cancel. I think it's you excuse yourself for a quick, guys, I have a personal call I have to make, and you let an assistant run practice for 4 minutes.
It's not 4 minutes. It usually ends up being like 7 or 8 minutes. And I can't. I'm not going to call from a CD cell phone line.
Why would it be
into the K show?
Well, is it going to be like a burner?
Have you been on Long Island?
Why would it be seedy?
Well, because have you been on Long Island? The cell phone reception on Long Island? It's horrendous.
So you're at a rink? Go into the office and call from a landline.
No, first of all, you know the rink that I'm at, and it's in the middle of the woods. There's no cell phone landline?
Reception.
No, I don't need to go. You are more than equipped. And you.
I don't know. Every time I go on, I get critiqued.
Well, listen, because
they
like
well, this is what
they like
well.
Me better than you.
What?
They like me better than you. I'm a better guest than you.
Oh.
You've kind of mailed it in guest-wise. Your picks have been outstanding. But as far as the little extra you bring to the show, it's
all right,
lacking.
You know what? You go on this week. You really.
I can't. Obviously,
you're better than me. They like you better than me. You go on.
No, I'm working on Friday. I can't.
Well, sorry. Then no one goes on.
Well, that's fine. Hey, you want to be that guy? That's fine.
That's fine.
I'm actually working.
Well, you're actually working. Don't talk down to me. I mean, you're actually working.
I am working. I have a legitimate excuse.
You could excuse yourself for 5 minutes and say, all right, I don't have a ton of time. Let me do a quick hit with the guys. Give my pick. You like me better than him. I am better than him anyway, and I'll improve their ratings and add levity to their show. Why don't you do that?
Well, you understand what they're trying to do, though. See, and you're going to let them do it, is they realize that we're on a heater right now, and you've been making the picks. So what is he trying to, he's trying to disrupt that. Why would we screw around with that right now? I haven't shaved for 3 days because I don't want to screw around with us winning hockey games. Now, it didn't work, but still, that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. Now I'm going to shave today.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Before we hear from Donnie,
yeah.
Can I just say something? Because I think you feel the same way. And I know we don't feel the same way about our coaches right now here. Brandon Staley, I know we talked about him before because he had that, I mean, talking about the run game and how much you like that. Dude, this guy, I like this guy a lot, man. I'm sitting here reading an article. So Joey Bosa, who's, I mean.
Yeah, he wouldn't put him back in because he was concerned for Bosa.
Yeah, as long as I'm the head coach here, I'm going to be making decisions like that in the best interest of our players. I mean, his play, how do you not fight tooth and nail for a guy like that?
I think you have to. Well, look at them. They're a pretty good football team right now.
No, I know, but we say that all the time. Like, we have these conversations, like, you know, the coach has got to protect the player from himself. And then not every coach is like that. Coach's like,
yeah,
oh, you good?
But
okay,
if a coach
get out
says
there.
That, right, you're right. If a coach says that, you know what, I know you're cleared. Right, the neurologist, the doctor has cleared him, said Bosa can go back in. And Staley said, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that. That's a coach that you think to yourself is looking after your best interest, and you will run through a wall for him now.
Exactly right. Like, yep. He knows I have a concussion history. No. You know how important you are to the team. Listen, sit this one out. We'll figure it out. Yeah, your health is more important right now.
And
I mean, that's exactly what you want.
By the way, better guest? Why would you say that? I don't think you're a better guest. I'm funny. I'm charming. I'm witty. I don't think you're better.
Well, why would they want me instead of you if you were better?
I think because you never go on now. You've mailed it in.
No, I have not mailed it in.
We made an agreement. We'll rotate weeks. And then I felt so guilty too. Shame on me. Like week three, when Ben had a baseball game, I'm like, Rick, can you do me a favor? I know you did week two, but can you, I didn't know, should I ask him? Should I, you know what, I will. Can you do week three? You're like, okay, yeah, I'll do week three. Little did I realize, at this point of the season, Dave, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Like now I lock it in. That's just my thing at this point.
Yeah, but I don't understand why now you're letting them do this to us. They're trying to break us apart.
They're not going to break us apart. Stop it.
They realize the chemistry that we have going on. They realize
three in a row too.
That's what I'm saying. Why would we screw around with that?
Well, it'd
be foolish.
You could also, if we discuss it, we go through it, we have the winning pick, and you deliver it instead of me, I think it works out just the same.
I like where we're at.
My point is Donnie took a shot at you, and I didn't.
That's because he's jealous of me and Mike. I see right through it. I see right through it.
I don't know.
That's fine. Let him keep growing out his hair and doing his thing. That's
you
fine.
Like you like that look? It looks good, right?
No.
No.
It's getting too long now. Imagine what that looks like wet.
It looks like the third Ryan brother.
Do you know what imagine what that looks like wet. That's dry. How long that must be wet.
It probably goes down mid-back.
It has to.
Like I got to be honest, I can't believe his wife signs off on that.
I don't think she really. I mean, who cares? I mean, you're married. What's the difference?
Well, stop it.
Maybe she likes to pull on it.
Maybe she does. Let's hear from Don, who's very upset with you, who's got very long hair, on the K-Show yesterday about the coaching problem with the Giants and the Jets.
The Giants and the Jets look like they are not playing in the NFL. When I turn on their games, it's like I'm watching Arena League. It's Sunday, I sit down, and I can flip to any game. And when I flip onto the Jets and the Giants, I feel like I'm not watching NFL football. And that's because of coaching. Because you can't tell me their talent is that much better than everybody else in the league. Especially the Giants, who they spent a lot of money for. Tired of hearing about, oh, this guy's hurt, that guy's... Here's injuries all over the league! They're dragging guys off the field every game. And then somebody trots out that you never heard of before and runs for 30 yards or scores a touchdown and does something great. Why? Because they've got good coaching. It's a coaching league more than any other sport. And when you got coaching, you got a chance to win. When you don't have coaching, you see that.
It's a great, great statement. It's
you would kill.
Right.
You would kill as a Giants fan to turn on the TV and have your offense look like an arena an Arena League offense.
Right?
Going
yeah,
up and down the field.
Throwing the ball off the wall. They should allow the Giants to do that. We'll extend it. Like CFL rules, you get a couple yards extra on the out of bounds. You can go deeper into the end zone. You can play the ball off the wall. It still wouldn't make a difference.
No, it wouldn't. No, not with how bad this offense looks right now. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it before the show. I mean, the Giants have scored less points than the Jets.
Which is miraculous.
Which is crazy. I don't know, man. I think it's a combination of the both. I don't disagree with Don, but I also will say, I mean, it's tough to coach. And he mentioned the injuries. Like, this has been something that's gone on the entire season, though. Like, this
but
is
it
from,
happens with everybody.
No, I know it happens with everybody. But how, like, with all the different offensive, first of all, when your offensive line already is bad, and now there's no continuity because guys are in and out of the lineup, and you have different, I mean, all these different, it felt like at the beginning of the season, it was how many games there was a different starting five on the offensive line.
I get it, but here's the thing. I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of it. The Jets stink, right? The Jets are a lousy team. They lose their star left tackle. And it doesn't sound like he's going to come back. I've heard, you know, nothing about him returning when he was supposed to be back weeks ago. And they plug in someone else, and it's not great, but it's okay. The Giants lose a guy, and it's the world ends. It's incredible that they can't somehow find a way. Here's my question for you. So the Giants are what? They're 4-8?
Yep.
If Bill Belichick was the coach of the Giants, what would their record be right now?
It would be better, but I wouldn't use Bill Belichick as the example.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if Bill Belichick was the coach of the Giants, are they 6-6?
They're a much better football team.
Okay.
But I mean, if you had a legitimate quarterback, are you 4-8? See, that's the thing. I mean, it's all of it. It's all of it. I mean, they're not well coached. They've had no continuity on the offensive side of the ball at all from the start of the season. Training camp, all the injuries, right? And their quarterback isn't great. Will Hernandez stinks. Nate Solder's not good. You can't stand Evan Ingram. Saquon Barkley's not the same running back.
So you're just going to talk us into bringing everyone back?
No, I'm not talking to you. I don't think they should bring. No, I think we're past that point now.
I mean, look at the Ravens.
It's not like this all of a sudden just happened. I mean,
look at the Ravens. Ravens' offensive line, complete mess. Complete mess.
You have an MVP quarterback, though. Don't use that. See, that's another terrible example, though. You got one of the best coaches in football, and you have an MVP playing quarterback. Yeah, but you don't have any of that, though. Forget the coach. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You have none of it. They always talk about what's the three most important things for a successful NFL team. It's GM, it's coach, and it's quarterback.
All right.
And currently, you don't have...
So what are the Giants with GM?
None of it.
An F.
You have none of it.
Huge F.
You have none of it.
Right now,
you can't. But stop just blaming it on one thing. You don't have any of them.
So blame it on everything. But you know what? The reason you don't have a quarterback, that's got to be the coach and the GM. The reason you don't have a good coach, that's an organizational issue. The quarterback stinks. I mean, you want to blame the ownership? You want to blame the GM? You want to blame the coach? You want to blame the quarterback? Fine. Blame it all. But it's completely broken right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I can't blame it on just one thing. Like, where they were drafted or how much money you paid somebody doesn't necessarily mean that they're supremely talented. Should they be? Yeah, they should be. But a lot of the guys in the Giants that you think should be that are super talented, it's on reputation only. Like, Saquon Barkley is the second overall pick, so he should be one of the best running backs in the league. He's not. Evan Ingram's a first-round pick. He should be one of the better tight ends in football. He's not.
Daniel quarterback Jones was a sixth overall pick.
Yeah, he should be. He in his third year, he should have taken that next step. He hasn't. And now he's hurt and seeing neck specialists, which would lead me to believe that it's not just a step. I don't go to a neck specialist if I have a stiff neck.
No, you go to a chiropractor.
Exactly, right.
You walk into a strip mall and you go to a chiropractor if you have a neck issue like that. Yeah, you don't start seeing specialists.
Yeah, so he's not playing. It doesn't sound like he's going to play Sunday. And if it's a disc issue and he's not getting cleared for contact, I don't know how that. That's a good sign moving forward that he's going to come back.
I don't think it's a good sign whatsoever.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
What is this?
I mean, really.
It's a good song.
I'll stop it. Sounds like he wrote it yesterday. What is this?
What do you mean, what is this?
What is this?
This is Jimmy Allen.
This is terrible.
Just featured on Dancing with the Stars.
It's terrible. Really. You'll like it by next week. Writing this.
You'll like it by next week.
I don't see that. And not only am I annoyed at whoever, Jimmy Allen, but I'm annoyed at Santiago for playing this. And you know what they're doing? They're catering to you. How could we? Listen, we feel like, I know what's happening back there. You got Geppetto, who's saying, guys, Rick is losing energy. How do we keep him engaged? And Santiago's like, I know what I can do. I can play an awful song that Rick happens to like.
Or you're just paranoid and looking for reasons to be the victim.
No.
Like usual.
No, how could you not like that song?
It's terrible.
It's a terrific song.
RJ, is that a good song?
I don't mind that song.
See, thank you.
Well, here we go.
You're one step away from Tinfoil Hat Man. This is you right now.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
I know you're here. That's a terrible. It's a terrible song.
Dave Rothenberg's going to have YouTube videos up very soon. Conspiracy theories.
By the way, listen. You guys, I understand. I'm a man on an island.
But you see what he did there, right? Like, he heard me ask you for the song, and that was the only time in how many months did he actually let a song breathe so he could hear it, so he could rip it?
Well, because I couldn't believe how bad it was. Like, when it was playing, I was like, this is really bad. I was like, it's going to get better. No. It got worse.
You couldn't believe how bad it was.
I couldn't believe. Honestly, Jimmy Allen should be embarrassed right now for putting that out there.
Wow. Get Jimmy Allen on the phone, please.
So we got Jimmy Allen and Jurgi Löw of the German soccer team.
Jurgi first. Do we know that it's Löw? It could be Low.
It could be Lerv.
Jurgen Lerv. Mr. Lerv, hello. DPHR and Rothenberg.
You know who would know is Andrew. Let me get him on the phone.
Yeah, get Andrew on the phone. Call Gunlink.
Why do you put your hands in your pants and then bring them up to your nose, Mr. Lerv?
All right, thank you for your time.
Thanks for your time.
All right, we got to go. You want me to break down NYCFC there in the MLS Cup? No, thank you.
Don't scream at me on
the show. Don't defend them. Absolutely not. Yeah, book Gunling, then get Lerv, and then Jimmy Allen in that order. Would be great.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
By the way, Jimmy Allen right now, that song 16th on the country top.
Thank you.
Top 40 chart.
So what does that mean?
It's a popular song right now.
It's a popular song. People like it.
So is that what we're going to do? When things are popular, now we're going to just bow to them at the altar?
I may play it at the next break.
Yes, good. That
just
is
play
what,
it every time.
What we'll do.
Every time we come back from break, play that garbage song so we can just sniff it and whiff it in. It's terrible.
Dave, can I ask?
Yeah.
What did the dogs do this morning? Because it sounds like you're having one of those days.
No.
Did you see him start sniffing in the camera? He put his head up.
I don't like when you laugh like this because I have trouble keeping my composure. All right. Stop. Get. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. If you're not worried. Or no, wait, hang on. It says, if you worried about your seasonal hirings, and I say it like that because I brought it to everyone's attention last week, and it fell on deaf ears.
No, that's how it's written. That's how Indeed wants it
written.
If
you worried?
What do you want from me? Call Indeed. I'll call that too. Let me call Indeed.
Go. Indeed, Gunling, Lerv, Jimmy Allen. All right. If you worried about your seasonal hiring needs, then you need Indeed. Indeed is the smart hiring platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and hire ASAP. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I try to find any way to not discuss the Knicks. That loss on Saturday was just grotesque. It really was. There's no defending it. There is no defending the Knicks anymore. I had to have Julius Randle come out the other day and say, we're one hot streak away from leading the Eastern Conference. You're not a playoff team right now. Forget about a playoff team. You're not a team that's involved in the play-in tournament right now, Rick.
No. I mean, that's the first time under 500, right? They've lost three in a row I mean, that game yesterday, especially not yesterday. Feels like yesterday.
Gotcha.
Again, the third quarter. We've talked about this over the last couple weeks. I mean, the beauty of that Knicks team last year was 48 minutes. They were going to give you everything that they had, every single ounce of energy that they had. Great defense, and we loved it. As Knicks fans, you loved it. Because what we're seeing now is what we've seen in the past. Now that this team is better than we've seen in the past, like I'm not ready to just be done with this team, but they haven't been able to put together a full 48 minutes almost all season long. I mean, that game against Denver ends up being the third quarter where they go on that 23-8 run. I mean, you finally cut it to six, and they go on a 23-8 run. I mean, Jokic he just dominates Mitchell Robinson.
Oh.
And then I got Zeke Nagy going off for his career high.
But it wasn't even competitive.
No.
Like, I don't think Jokic played in the fourth quarter of the game on Saturday.
No. It was calamitous in the third quarter.
Oh, that's a good word.
I mean, you had RJ Barrett running into Julius Randle trying to get a rebound. That ball goes out of bounds. I mean, it was a mess. It was gross.
You do realize they're half a game in 11th. Like, they're a loss away tonight from being in 12th place tomorrow morning.
Well, and then, you got Tibbs taking shots at RJ Barrett or insinuating that he's not putting in as much work as he did last year. Because, yeah, I mean, he can't. I mean, he's in a shooting slump.
Doesn't look good to me.
No, it doesn't look good at all. So, yeah, I mean, they got real issues. They do, because they're not a very good offensive team, and their calling card last year was great defense, and they're not, at the moment, they're not a good defensive team.
No.
So get elite.
And I get a lot of, listen, they were 9-13 last year, so you just need to hold your horses. Maybe you're right. And again, I'm not saying that it's over, but is it, you're 11-12. Is it too early to be very concerned?
No, you should be very concerned, because do they have the personnel to play the kind of defense that they played last year? I don't know. I don't think Evan Fournier is capable of playing great defense. I don't.
So they bring
Mitchell Robinson
Kemba Walker,
can't stay healthy.
He's now not going to play, right? He's now out of the rotation.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Apparently that he could be now back involved to some degree with actually being back in the rotation. I mean, this team's got issues. I mean, you need to, in order for you to take that next step.
I need my better players to play better, too.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Like, Julius Randle's not the same player. I mean, he's been good, but he hasn't been at the level he was last year. Right? Like, RJ Barrett's struggling currently to shoot the basketball. He needed to take that next step.
This is year three.
If the team was going to take that next step. I mean, the guys that you brought in that were supposed to kind of get you over the hump offensively, one, you can't play. He's out of the rotation. And the other one is, he's a liability defensively, for sure.
He's not certainly not worth $18 million a year.
So, I mean, you got a bunch of different problems. I mean, there's been some positives. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's Toppin looks so much better than he looked last year. He looked unplayable last year.
I agree, but
so
why am I not seeing more of him? Why is it Obi Toppin for 18 minutes a game? I can't see 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Well,
of Obi
because
Toppin.
He plays the same position as Julius Randle. They have to make the decision whether or not they want to go small. And they seem hesitant to do that.
I guess. But it's not like you can't defend Jokic anyway. And Mitchell Robinson's a liability. He can't put the ball in the basket. He's got zero offensive game.
Well, but that's the thing, though, too, right? Like, if you're not – like, it goes back to the conversations we were kind of having earlier about Kemba and Fournier. Like, if you were going to take a step back defensively, you would have to take a step, forward offensively.
A big step forward.
You didn't. So it's the same kind of thing, though, right? Like, your offense is not good. Like, if you play great defense and get stops, and all of a sudden now we get out on the run, transition, you get some easy buckets, okay, we can work with that. But their half-court offense stinks.
It
and then,
stinks.
I mean, when you're struggling to score points and Mitchell Robinson's not playing great defense, what does he do for you offensively?
He's a liability.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's Mike Tenenbaum Report brought to you by Nissan and DraftKings Sportsbook. Mike, we know we love you. You know that. We know that. Everyone knows that. But every time you sit and defend Joe Judge, it makes me love you a little bit less. So let's see where we are today. Firstly, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Does that mean we're going to start seeing other people here, or like we no longer going to be exclusive?
I don't know. I want to get to the bottom of where you are with your defense of Joe Judge, because I watch it and it's hard to watch. His clock management is horrendous. The team is just, they are so awful. Yet I hear you, and it's a lot of stick with them. I think it's going to get better.
In all sincerity, why? Like, why and how can you defend him with how bad this team has been?
Yeah, and candidly, I thought that may have been his worst performance. Not losing on the road against a team that has a really good defense in Miami, but for a lot of things that you said. And when you talk about building a team, building a program, good example of it is Arizona. Colt McCoy goes in, he replaces Kyle Murray, who may be the league MVP, and they win two road division games at San Francisco, at Seattle. And that's what you want your backup quarterback to do. And actually, I thought Mike Glenn started off okay, converted some third downs. But as the game went on, I agree, it just looked like they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know where they were lining up. And that is a concern. Now, here's the only thing I will say. I'm sure you guys watched the game last night. Buffalo really struggled to line up against New England, and everybody in the country knew they were going to run the ball. And there was a lot of times that New England was out there with six offensive linemen, and Buffalo was still in their regular defense with four DBs out there. And we all know Sean McDermott's a good coach. So all I'm saying is Joe Judge is not perfect, Dave, but coaches make mistakes. Mike Zimmer made a huge one against Detroit.
Yep.
And that's all I'm saying. Like, I can't defend Joe Judge for Sunday. I thought that was a bad day at the office.
Let me ask you one more follow-up with this. Are you losing, because you were very defensive of him weeks ago, are you losing any belief in him, or you still have that at a very high level right now?
Yeah, like, bottom line, just to cut through it, I would not make a change. I just think he's a young coach that you hope is going to get better, and you want to see some of these younger players get better. I know we'll get to the Jets in a second. I thought some of them were trending in the right direction, and I thought Barkley coming back would have made more of a difference. You know, Daniel Jones, to me, is another big X factor here, guys, because the two questions that Daniel Jones had to answer consistently was not turning the ball over, which he did at Duke, and then being durable. And obviously those two questions haven't been answered. So if I'm the Giants, like, it really starts with that analysis. But the reason I do like Joe Judge, the positives I see, he never makes excuses. I do think he's accountable, and that to me is the sign of leadership and standards. And you got to start somewhere, and to me it hasn't been perfect, Dave. And again, I can't defend it on Sunday, but I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, but Mike, my only concern is this, is, you know, a coach like Joe Judge, and, you know, I've heard a bunch of different reasons why you would keep Joe Judge, and I guess the best reason at the moment would be, well, just for the sake of continuity, because we don't want to keep recycling through coaches or cycling through coaches. But as a former player, if, you know, we're in year two and we have another bad season, and he coaches the way that he coaches, like, I don't know, like, what the lifespan is for a coach like Joe Judge if we don't have the success to back it up.
Yeah, and again, like, if we were running the Giants, guys, if the three of us were running the Giants and we went back 5 years and we said, hey, you know, Pat Shurmur gets 2 years, Ben McAdoo gets 2 years, like, I just don't think you're going to get to where you want to go. Look at Matt Rhule, guys. Let's talk about the great Matt Rhule. He goes to Carolina with an impeccable reputation, brings in Joe Brady. He fires Joe Brady. They fire Cam Newton. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. They move on from him. They trade for Sam Darnold, wait 24 hours, exercise his option, owe him $20 million, bring Cam Newton back, pay him $10 million in guaranteed money. So I'm not saying here they should fire Matt Rhule. I'm just saying, like, it's hard to build a program consistently, and to me, that's why I would err on the side of patience.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. This is not an easy question to ask, but I'm going to ask you, and I don't know the answer. Is Saquon Barkley a bust?
No, I don't think so, because they average 80 more yards per game as soon as he's on the field in the passing game, and to me, that's a big difference. So I think he's a guy that maybe you have to talk about what's the price to keep him at, but he's high character. He's a high-ceiling guy, and as soon as he walks out the door, Dave, you're going to do everything you can to try to replace him.
Yeah, you already picked up his option. So, Mike, I mean, you bring up Matt Rhule, and I think it's just the reality in the NFL is, doesn't matter how good a coach you are. If you don't have a quarterback, it's going to be tough to have success, right? And, I mean, right now Carolina is trying to find out who their quarterback is going to be. So I'll ask you this, and I know Davis is hell-bent on Joe Judge and everything else, but, I mean, moving forward, do you think that Daniel Jones, you mentioned, you know, the turnovers and the availability, is he your guy moving forward?
Big question mark there. The verb I'd use on that is, guys, I would scour. I would look at every option possible. And by the way, I know Dave Gettleman gets beaten up a lot. Some probably is deservedly so. But I would say this. I take those two number one picks that he's accumulated, and I call up Seattle, and I would get him on the phone for Russell Wilson, and I wouldn't get off the phone. I would do whatever it takes. And if you have Russell Wilson, to me, it changes the whole narrative of the franchise. But I don't think you could sit there and say, hey, Daniel Jones is our quarterback for the next 5 years. Put your feet up on the desk. That's why, to me, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes, but you do have those two first-round picks. I don't think this is a great draft next year for quarterbacks, but they will have options.
But how unrealistic? It's the Giants, and it's old-school way. Do you really think – I agree with you. I would absolutely make the call. Do you think there's any chance that they would make a deal where two ones, whatever else, bring in Russell Wilson? Is that realistic?
Yeah, I mean, Dave, like, I'll tell you this. Like, when I was at the Jets, and everyone was like, there's no way Brett Favre will ever come to the Jets. He'll retire before he would accept a trade of you guys. And, you know, we worked really, really hard for about 3 weeks, and he became a Jet. And to me, like, you could figure it out. Like, you have a great story to tell. Like, you're the New York Giants. You're one of the, you know, landmark franchises. It's New York City. It's the NFL. You have success here. You know, look at Phil Simms, Bill Parcells, Tom Coughlin, Eli, Tiki. Like, those guys, they're all-time greats. And to me, like, there's a great sales pitch here if I'm the Giants to say, hey, like, you could come here and change the trajectory of this franchise.
Yeah, but Mike, I mean, how much of a difference would it make? Because, I mean, we brought this up months ago that should be the pivot for the Giants with someone like Russell Wilson, and he would change everything and he'd be attracted to the market and everything else. And we got pushback. It was, well, I mean, the offensive line stinks and all the different reasons why he wouldn't have success. In your opinion, I mean, you're a guy who knows, like, if you had the same exact team back next year, but Russell Wilson was your quarterback and Daniel Jones wasn't, what kind of difference would it make?
Huge. I mean, that's why franchise quarterbacks get paid the way they are. Like, you don't think Green Bay's going to bed every night scared to death that they have to go play Jordan Love next year? I think that's what greatness is about, Rick. I think it's about elevating people around you. And if you have Russell Wilson, first of all, he's going to energize the entire franchise. And a lot of he will create an aura of association, meaning when Tom Brady went to Tampa, think of all those guys that wanted to go with him. There are a lot of players that want to play in New York. I know I've sat in the seat where people want to experience what it's like here. And if you have Russell Wilson, to me, it changes everything, not only on the field, but as importantly, guys, off the field.
Mike Tannenbaum, you're doing a terrific job, by the way, today. I feel like you're really on the top of your game. It's quick. It's concise. There's a good rapport with us. You're doing a wonderful work.
So am I the Joe Judge of guests? Like, I'm just, you know, I'm getting better. You know, I've been developed.
No, you're well beyond that. You're closer to the Bill Belichick of guests than the Joe Judge of guests. Don't demean yourself like that. How upset should the Jets fan be that you have a defensive minded head coach and the defense looks like this?
Yeah, no, look, that's fair. And I think from a Jet perspective, guys, if the three of us were sitting here next February, it really doesn't matter if they win 2 games, 6 games, 8 games, 4 games. It's year one, new head coach, new quarterback. But on the side of the ball that the coach came in with, you want to see meaningful progress, meaning does the Jet defense in December beat the Jet defense in August? And right now, I don't think we can say that. And that's scary because a backup quarterback came into your home stadium and just lit you up. And they didn't do anything well. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, well, you know, we're going to rush the passer, or we're going to play really good coverage on the back end. And that's a concern because I don't know where the foundation is on defense to say, hey, we're going to build around these two or three players. I don't see the young players getting better, and that would be a concern.
I mean, they can't defend a screen, Mike. I mean, it's a complete mess. I don't even know where to go with this, but I want to ask you this because you've actually worked with them. And I'm watching that game last night, and I'm sick to my stomach because it's – I mean, any team in the AFC right now, Bill Belichick has the year where with guys opting out for COVID and everything else, goes out, spends some money, has Mac Jones fall on his lap, and now they're the number one seed in the AFC. So we got a one-year reprieve, and now, I mean, the Jets, as a Jets fan, I'm not even close to what the Patriots are right now, and they got, you know, Mac Jones, rookie quarterback, who's only going to get better. What is it? How is it that he's able to do what he does? What's the secret sauce? I mean,
He's a genius. I worked for the guy twice, and he has similarity. And I know this is going to sound strange, but Steve Jobs, you know, created and ran Apple for a number of years and made it the iconic business. And he was known as like a genius. When you read about him, there was like a genius in his simplicity. And I've been in Coach Belichick's game plan meetings, and like he will simplify it to saying, hey, if we do these two or three things, we're going to win the game. And I'm telling you, like, the meeting the night before the game was this simple. Guys, we're going to put six offensive linemen on the field. They're not tough enough. And Sean McDermott stayed in regular defense, and they were bigger, physical, and it was physics, guys. They went six offensive linemen with a huge fullback, and they were just able to move the line of scrimmage, and Buffalo never adjusted. And Sean McDermott, again, good young coach, defensive background, and Bill Belichick's playing chess, and his opponents are playing checkers.
It's really unbelievable how good he is. Mike, listen, you were Belichickian today. Very close to that level. Outstanding as always. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much. You too, guys. Always appreciate being on. Happy holidays if I don't talk to you sooner.
There you go. That is the talented and wonderful Mike Tenenbaum. And that's today's Mike Tenenbaum Report brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup now. Get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. And also, the Mike Tenenbaum Report was brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code GREEN for a special offer when you sign up, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. And that was some Straight Talk Wireless, brought to you by Straight Talk. No contract and no compromise. Also, you can save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com and do that today. The Belichick thing, it really pains you, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. I don't see him. I mean, do you see him leaving anytime soon?
No.
No, I don't.
What? Look at that team. Look at that offensive line. Look at the running backs. They're only going to get better. Right? This is the tip of the iceberg. The quarterback's only going to get better. He's not going to be sitting there with N'Keal Harry and mediocre receivers forever. The defense will get better. They're not in financial strap situation at all. No. I think you got at least 4 years of Bill Belichick left. At least.
And that's what makes it so scary, though, too. I mean, this is the infancy stages of this. And, I mean, they go into Buffalo under those conditions and do what they did.
That was their game, though. Like, that game suited them more than it did Buffalo.
No, I know, but what's frustrating is it doesn't matter what kind of game it needs to be. That's how he approaches each week. It's we're going to do whatever it takes in this game against this team to win. Whatever it ends up being. We only throw the ball three times. And it's always everything is taken into account. Weather, wind, rain, like
every detail, I mean,
every detail.
That's why he is. You just heard him. He compared him to Steve Jobs, like just an apps. He's a football genius. He is. He's a savant. And we joke about it. He completely outcoached Sean McDermott last night.
No, I get it. And that, I mean, maybe that's the disconnect, right? It's we talk about all these coaches' trees and coaching trees and everything else. And I mean, maybe it's just it's as simple as just Bill Belichick is one of a kind.
He's one of one. Yeah, he's one of one. All right, Jets fans, now is your chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Jets take on the Saints this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. Brought to you by the New York Jets. Get tickets to see the Jets host the Saints at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, December the 12th at 1 o'clock, presented by Verizon. Lock in your seats at nyjets.com/tickets. Let's get to some calls. Let's get to some calls. Let's go to Shooter in Stanford. Shooter, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks, guys. My kid just puked in the backseat of the car, but I'm gonna tread forward.
Wow. Now, hang on. Like you think he's sick, or you think this is like a motion sickness kind of thing?
I think it's just motion sickness, but he's done it before a couple times, but this is the worst because it's all over the car this time. Usually it's just over him, but now it's over the car.
Does it stink in the car?
It does, but I'm a COVID long hauler, so I don't smell too well, but I could still smell it. That's what's crazy about it. It must be very potent.
Well, I respect the fact that you're fighting through and you still made the call and you're going to hang on the line. So go ahead, Shooter. What do you got?
Thanks. Belichick, right? So genius for three things, right? He's a chameleon with his identity, right? Other teams try to get their identities, but he's a chameleon. He changes week to week just to win. And that screws all the fantasy owners on the Patriots as well, because the guy could have 20 points 1 week, 2 points the next week. Second, his adjustments, right? He makes adjustments at halftime like the Falcons Super Bowl and all the time that, like he said, he's playing chess, other people playing checkers. And three, right, his scheme. How are these quarterbacks playing so well with him, except Newton last year, who I think had COVID? Like, he's tremendous. And four, a good thing about the Jets and Giants this year, guys, the tailgating is always great. I just go sometimes and don't even go to the game.
Huh. Well, I agree with that philosophy.
Good luck with the vomit, by the way. Good
that's
luck.
That's the best thing about going to the games is the tailgating.
I'm not a tailgating kind of guy.
Well, you're not a going to the game kind of guy.
No, if the Giants had a standalone game, I would absolutely go. Like a Sunday night or a Monday night, I would go. I don't enjoy the tailgate. I know everybody
loves
it.
The tailgating. That's my favorite part.
But I don't like drinking during sporting events.
Well, what fun is that?
Maybe I'm not fun. I don't enjoy it. I want to concentrate and focus on my Giants. I'm not worried about, oh, we need to taste this Amstel. It's delicious. I don't want that. I'm not looking for that.
Will you please take Lonnie and Harlem? You're procrastinating here, please.
All right, fine. You have 45 seconds, Lonnie and Harlem. Go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Yeah, of course you would save me for the last minute, Dave, because you're such a little wuss. Anyway, yeah, really
Lonnie, don't make me hang up on you. All right? Yeah, I get this tweet from you, Dave. I'm not going to be mean. I won't be nasty. And you come on and you're nasty right away. I'll tell you this, Lonnie. One more shot, and we're hanging up on you.
I said I won't scream, Dave. But first of all, how much did you pay Cullum last night to call him with that call, Uncle Rico? Like you say, Cullum. Listen. First of all, Cullum, I just want to tell you congratulations on the baby. But listen, don't call in brother Dave back, because as soon as you picked up the phone, your hand was already up his back, rubbing his back. Come on now with that. But listen, last night was kind of boring, but like the last caller just said, Bill Belichick, I mean, I wish we had coaches out here in New York who can devise a plan.
Well, we
who
don't.
Can just break down the game to where we can win. Like
we don't.
Said, those
we don't. We don't have it, Lonnie. We got to run. I'm sorry. I love you. You're right next to Jen on the pantheon of callers. Santi, it's your time.
Today's three stars. Number three.
Be careful, Dave. Something bad could happen to you. You keep going down this road. Anyway,
I love Lonnie.
Anyway, number three is going to go out to the great Bill Belichick. I was going to play the cut of him on the win last night. Three passes and beating Buffalo in Buffalo. So I'll just play a couple drops from Belichick in the past.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
My face, your face, instant face. Go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff. I don't know.
I love Bill Belichick. Respect the hell out of him. Fear him, too.
Number two.
Dave, can you clarify for me what are we calling this February dinner that you're now trying to plan?
The second Thanksgiving.
Second Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And a potluck.
Well, Rick will make the turkey, and we will bring all the sides over to the house. Absolutely.
All right.
Number one.
And that goes to you, Dave, once again, for being sensitive, because you got so uppity and wanting to be a victim over playing the country music that you screwed up a read again.
If you're not worried.
And now
that's
you're,
what it says.
If you're not worried.
I didn't screw it up. I was emphasizing how wrong, in fact, it was. Fine. Do whatever you want.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.